Welcome to the IT Experience Podcast. This is a podcast for those who are interested in IT experience management in large enterprises. If you use ServiceNow or other enterprise service management system to provide services to employees, then this is for you. Brought to you by Happy Signals. More smiles, less time wasted.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Happy Signals IT Experience Podcast. Today we actually host Matt Barron from Minnesota, who himself is a podcast host. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Sakari.
There is an interesting thing about your past, and the reason why we wanted to have you on is that you might have some interesting insights. But before getting there, let's start a little bit with your background. You actually started your IT career back in the year 2000 as an IT support person in college when IT support was very new. So do you want us to tell a little bit about how your IT career started in those early years?
Yes. And thank you for asking. And thanks for having me on. I'm a huge fan of Happy Signals. I've got one of the pink hats with the heart on it. And you do have a good podcast. I thought about maybe wearing pink this morning, but I left it. I left it in the closet. No, we were talking beforehand about how it's interesting how millennials and Gen Zs have grown up with technology in most of their education career, from high school and primary school into secondary, college, university situations, and how different those universities were when my parents went to university or even my older brother went to university. How not a lot of kids were bringing their own personal computers, Xboxes, iPads, iPhones, none of that stuff existed. And what was fascinating to me was the demand was so high for agents, people who could provide service, people who could solve some technical issues with these devices were in very high demand. And I, as an English major at this university, was studying literature and thinking maybe I would be going into education. When this demand hit me right in the face, I was asked specifically, once they knew that I was capable of supporting computers, to join the team and be part of this team and actually work while I'm in school, solving professor problems, solving student issues. And I learned so much. And one of the things that that I learned that was really rudimentary was just simply patching or crimping Cat 5 cables. Back then it was Category 5. Now it's now it's Category 6. But we were building the Ethernet. We were building the internet at the campus. And when Wi-Fi came out, you know, we started to put out AP points, and you just learn all these things. One of the most interesting things was to build a ticketing system, because I think ticketing systems probably existed back in the year 2000. No, they definitely existed, but our college wasn't going to spend a lot of money on it. And it was an opportunity for the students to build something. So they gave us access to a great tool, one of the best platforms as a service, one of the original platforms as a service called FileMaker Pro. Mm-hmm. And it was great because not only did we get the experience of building the ticketing system from the ground up, just understanding, you know, what data needs to be captured. But you started to, once we got basic ticketing in place and we're capturing, you know, what's the question, what's the answer, then we started to realize, okay, there's more to this. We need categorization. We need the user data. We need their asset information. And so having a platform to be able to build not only the ticketing, but then also these other data points and databases really to reference into those tickets and sort of build what we needed in that situation. Very fascinating approach. And I would love to actually go back in time and see what we built back then and maybe even like rebuild it now to see what would change. Cause you know, we've grown as an industry, we've matured as an industry.
In the following 20 years now that you've been in IT, I mean, you've done a lot of interesting work in different companies. So if you look at this US context. Happy Signals is originally a Finnish company, and we understand that there is a difference maybe in how IT is being run in the US versus how it's being run in Europe versus how it's being run in India, how it's being run in Asia or in other parts of the world. So if you look at your own work history and what you have learned during this last 20 years, what would you say is the situation in the US today? And what would you say sort of characterizes the state of IT service management and the state of IT experience management in the US in the year 2023?
Oh my gosh, what a great and difficult question to answer. I think when I look at how far we've come, I think I keep hearing the phrase in my head, history repeats itself. And I think we're always kind of going through these cycles, even as time goes on, where we're relearning the things that we already knew. And so when I think about IT service management in the States specifically, I think we've matured greatly, especially when it comes to providing the services themselves have improved. The infrastructure itself has improved, and the tools to manage those things have come a long way. We've got things like software-defined networking, SDNs, which makes it really easy to build things. And now with the advent of cloud, we've got infrastructure as code, where, you know, changing your network and changing your servers are as simple as talking to ChatGPT and asking it, you know, how am I going to write a script to spin this up on AWS? And how am I going to write a script to get my SDN changed? And then you put those into place and your infrastructure is up and you're ready. So I think, like, technically we have matured greatly. And the places where we have a strong foundation are in the very familiar processes, incident, change, problem, knowledge. I would say even CMDB and asset are very, they're fairly mature. The places where I think that we're struggling are the same places that everyone is struggling, and it's the human elements. And thankfully, I'm seeing, at least last year and maybe a couple of years prior to that, we're starting to see a lot of excitement around experience. So whether it's customer experience, CX, or it's employee experience, EX, which is then going to affect CX, people are really excited about it, especially at IT conferences, at IT service management conferences. I would say it's one of the primary topics that people are talking about. How do I write XLAs? What does it look like? How do I operationalize those things and, like, see them and share them with users and have discussions about them? So I think that's really where we're headed towards. And you kind of see it in the ITIL space, how People Cert has gone from having your certification be indefinite to your certification now only lasts 3 years for ITIL specifically. And so I think people are really, because of that, we're at this juncture now where people are thinking, okay, how do I learn more about experience management? How do we get into CX? How do we get people thinking in these new ways? And so I think a large part of the IT segment is looking in other areas. How can I learn more about CX and how I'm going to apply that, and maybe pairing that up with our ITIL processes? So applying what I learn in the CX space to incident management, to knowledge management. And that goes for other frameworks as well. ITIL 4 has this great concept of value streams, and IT for IT is a competing framework. I'll say they compete, although IT for IT is open source, so it's not technically competing. But that framework focuses on value streams first. And so it's a really great framework to pair with ITIL, because it kind of gives you the answers for the value stream part. You don't necessarily have to go to your stakeholders and have these difficult conversations about where they find value in IT. And so that's where I think the modern growth is happening in 2023, is people are starting to pair these other frameworks and concepts and ideas with what they know is already working in ITIL to take it to that next level, to provide a better experience to mature IT service management.
You mentioned that you were an English major when you started working in the IT service desk at the college or the university. Prior to the recording, we also spoke about design lifecycle thinking and how that might be impacting now the way that IT looks at IT in a slightly different way. Do you see those inspiration from other fields of expertise coming into IT and having a positive impact on how IT is being done?
Yeah, yes, without question. You can already see within our industry the effect that experience management has had. And you see it. What's great is Happy Signals is proving it for us with these great reports that you guys put out, the data that you guys put out. I'm so excited that last year, finally, people are starting to not hate self-service portals. They don't love them yet. They just don't hate them. And I feel like that really is like a sign that we're starting to pay attention, that we're starting to, and I say this all the time, if you're building something that your users are going to use, they should be building it with you. Because when you go live, not only are they not going to hate it, they're going to actually like it because they built it. There is no better knowledge article than the one that the users write with you, because it's going to have their language. It's going to use their pacing. It'll have the instructions as they understand them. It'll have the right images as they understand them. And the same thing can be said for our bigger systems too. Self-service, the system itself, ERP systems, Outlook, how you manage teams. All of those things, they all improve when you design them with your user, because your user then designed them.
Looking at involving those end users in the different IT development initiatives, where do you see the challenges happening? Is it easy for IT to bring those users on board to co-design with them, or are there certain things that make that difficult?
Yes, I think the things that make it difficult are twofold. The first is that We want there to be an end. We love when projects have a beginning and an end. It's easier to see the value when you have a start and a finish. And I think part of this comes from application development. We're very used to having a pipeline from demand and stories to development and go live. And we just love that linear process. The reality is that, and you see this in app dev as well, the reality is that you never stop. You're always going to be working on code. You're always going to be bug fixing. You're always going to be operating. There's no escaping that. So one of the biggest challenges is investing and staying invested. If you're going to start a voice of the customer program, it's not going to be focused on one thing. It's not a one and done voice of the customer program. You start listening to them and you continue to listen to them. So that's, I think, the first challenge is understanding that there are these roles that are just going to continually have to be running all the time. You just can't stop. The second thing I would say is the primary challenge for our industry when it comes to co-creation of value, involving customers in the process, is the social aspect. How do we actually do that? How do we actually like meet the people? What are the ceremonies and artifacts that we need to actually have in our toolbox to have these discussions, to start these discussions, to instigate the discussions? And what does that actually look like to people? I think that mystery is hard to prescribe for a specific culture. And I believe that it looks unprofessional to fail in that context. However, that I believe is the hurdle that we need to cross. To be vulnerable, to lower our self-expectations, and to be humble in what we don't understand and be vulnerable in what we don't understand, to then pair with our colleagues, with our employees, and with our customers to to admit that we don't necessarily understand what they value or why they value it. And then we can start to heal and grow together and build something together.
If you think about humans, the people are quite unpredictable. And in terms of what they want, what they need, and what they would prioritize if they would be able to decide. So having that voice of a customer program or capturing that experience from end users will lead to these unexpected events and unexpected turns. So
I love that. Sorry for interrupting, but that's key. And I'm glad that you brought that up, actually, because it's one thing to say, you know, I'm going to try to understand our users. And it's one thing to have an interview with them and like, listen to them. Like, what do you like in an application? Oh, I like a good looking application. Oh, they like it good looking. Let's build a good looking application. It's not that simple. Because people don't even know themselves that well.
Yeah.
They can't even give you an objective answer. They're always going to have that subjective bias, that confirmation bias that they're going to have because they're their ideas. And so that research element, you know, I would like for it to be very simple to just ask someone and have them provide me data back. But the reality is that you need to talk around the question. You almost need to have a discussion. They have to answer the question without the question being asked.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the point of that research. It's so difficult. It's such an art. I'm glad that you pointed that out.
So looking forward then, we see complexity in terms of adopting new ways of working, new ways of thinking, new ways of relating to the end users that are using the services provided by IT. Going forward now, we sort of maybe gotten accustomed to the world changing and not necessarily in a good way for the last few years. What would your advice be to the audience of this podcast, a lot of them enterprise IT professionals? How should they be thinking about their work and what they would be doing in the upcoming years?
That's a tough one. And I think I'm going to channel my inner Barclay Ray here. Because Barclay and I were kind of polar opposites. I'm definitely an optimist. I'm very high energy. He's a little bit more skeptical. It's why we're a great team. It's why I love Barclay.
Yeah.
But I think what people really need to focus on is the basics. You know, it's easy to be distracted by these great new ideas. It's easy to be to find a new concept and think that it's going to make your life a lot better. And it might. And it's great to learn that stuff and know that it exists and remind yourself that that exists. And the reality is that a lot of times we need to go and write the knowledge article. You know, we used to have this phrase in the 90s, read the manual. RTFM is what the phrase used to be. Read the manual, just RTFM. And with the counter to that phrase was write the manual. Hey, if I'm going to read the manual, you need to write the manual. And that's kind of what we forget when we look at these highfalutin ideas, these new concepts and new ways of working. Once we hear from the customer, sure, there might be a huge program to replace your ticketing system, or there might be a big program to swap out your collaboration system. You know, maybe Microsoft or Google, one of them isn't working, so you're swapping to the other one, whatever. Don't get distracted by that fancy stuff. Don't get distracted by the $3 million project that, yes, is going to save us, you know, money. It's going to save us time and provide a better experience. You might actually just need to answer the phone better. You might just need to work on that IVR or that ACD system and change that part of the experience because it's just a mess. And that hard work sometimes looks thankless. It looks hopeless. How could we ever make this a better experience? And that nose to the grindstone, that focus on the basics, it'll never go away. It will always be important, no matter what.
So appreciating the small things, celebrating the small victories as well, and not just looking at it's not just about the finals. It's also about the training sessions, the games that lead up to the playoffs, and then you get the finals, the big projects. Like, if you don't perform in the small things, you won't be able to perform in the big things.
You can't score goals without dribbling the ball.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's excellent. I think that's a good way to sort of wrap this up for this time. It has been a real pleasure having you on, and always very, very interesting to hear different perspectives. And I learned a lot. So I hope our audience appreciated this too.
Thanks for having me on, Sakari. It's been great.
Thank you, Matt. And as we always say at the end of this podcast, stay safe and stay happy. Thank you.
If you like this episode, giving the podcast a review helps others find this content as well. You can also visit our YouTube channel or our learning center at happysignals.com for some more video content. Join hundreds of like-minded IT professionals who have passed the free IT XM certification course on itxm.academy.